Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We hit the field light. All day light. All night light. Here we go. Here we go. Keep it on. We don't hit them light.
This is the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast with James Rapine and Daryl Ryder on 92.3thefan.com.
What up and welcome into another edition of the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast. I'm James Rapine. He is Daryl Ryder. We are your beat writers for 92.3 The Fan and 92.3thefan.com. It's great to be with you on draft week. Daryl, not nearly as excited as I am. The NFL draft is one of my favorite times of the year. We're going to talk about it today. We're going to recap it Sunday. So make sure you like, share, and subscribe the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast. You can do it on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Also, every podcast posted on our website, 92.3thefan.com. All right, Daryl, let's dive into this because it's quite interesting. The Browns find themselves in a position that they're not used to being in. Heck, you find yourself in a position that you're not used to being in. On Thursday, as of now, you might not have to write anything as you sip your Arizona tea. You might just be sipping more of that tea. Maybe you put a little vodka in that and enjoy your Thursday night, because the Browns, they don't have a pick. They already used it on one Odell Beckham Jr. Interesting spot for the Browns, interesting spot for you, because you can kick your feet up and relax.
Don't tell the bosses, but I may take a bottle of Jack Daniels with me Thursday night.
Love it. Love it. It doesn't mix well with your tea, though.
And we'll do the NFL draft drinking game, which means we'll
the Browns have made you drink in the past. I'm surprised you're drinking this year.
Which means we'll be, you know what, by the like the 10th pick in the draft, we'll all be sloshed. But yeah, it's different. I mean, for the first time in franchise history, and I do mean for the first time in franchise history, the Cleveland Browns do not have to absolutely draft a starter. Pretty much all 22 spots are spoken for. That's not to say that one of these guys that get drafted can't come in and compete and steal one of the starting jobs, but it's not an absolute requirement. John Dorsey basically goes into this draft with 8 picks. He can draft best player available with each and every one of those picks. He does not have to draft for need, and that is how you build true organic depth with your roster, which is still something the Browns need to do. They still need some depth. They have starters. They've got blue chip talent in a lot of positions, but they are thin. They still need some depth, and that's where this draft comes in. So it'll be interesting to see. I can't see John Dorsey sitting on his ass for 48 picks, not doing anything, and waiting to go on the clock Friday night at about, I don't know, I'm guessing 9:30 at night, you know, whenever, you know, 49 comes up. I can't see it. That's just not how he operates. So
So you're guaranteeing a trade into round one?
I'm guaranteeing nothing. I've covered the Browns for 20 years, so I know not to guarantee anything. But just that it wouldn't surprise me, you know, if John waits until the second round Friday night to make a move up the board, that wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if there's a player that falls to that first round and he wants to make sure he gets that fifth-year option on them. I could see him, you know, moving up and making that happen, because that's just his nature as a GM. He is very, very aggressive. And I don't say that as being a bad thing. That's just how he has operated. I mean, hell, he's made 17 trades since taking over.
Is that
as
all?
GM. Yeah, just 17. He's slacking this year. He's only made, I think, 2 or 3.
I will say, I think it's
but
most
I have a
likely
feeling he's going to pick up. He's going to pick up some steam draft weekend.
Yeah, there's going to be a couple trades. I agree. And we'll get into Duke Johnson, who I think is going to be involved in one of those deals.
He
probably
will not be. I will make one guarantee.
Oh, he will not.
Duke Johnson will not be a Cleveland Brown on Sunday.
Oh, okay. That's fair. Yeah. Why would you want to deal with him? You're Duke Johnson, by the way. You can't demand a trade. I do want to get into that in a second.
Well, he can, value. But...
Well, yeah. Well, that's it's ridiculous, all right? Your Butler can't demand a trade. Like, he's a very complimentary piece. Anyways, I think they're going to trade up from 49. And
way to go out on that.
Hold on. But it's not going to be into round one. It's expensive. It'll be pricey to go up to 32.
It'll cost you 49, maybe your third round pick, maybe your second round pick next year.
That's a lot. And if you're John Dorsey,
but here's the thing.
There's going to be someone that they have a first round grade on. Mark my words, someone that they have a first round grade on available on Friday night.
Right.
Past pick 35.
Who's to say he doesn't trade into round one and move back into round two?
Exactly. There you go. Maybe he does that. But then all of a sudden you're looking at really depleting your future assets. If you're doing both of those things. Oh, yes. It's going to take a lot to get to 32. That's 17 spots. The 32 in that 32nd pick, obviously the fifth round option is valuable. But moving up 17 spots, you're talking about potential Pro Bowler to maybe a starter in a couple years, like just projection wise. That's the difference in that those two areas. But I do think that one of these guys that they have a first round grade on, and every team's draft board's different, obviously, is going to fall and he's going to move up 49 to 42, 49 to 40, even maybe 49 to 39, 38. Right. Move up, and then it might only cost you a third next year and a fifth this year. They have 3 fifth round picks. Like, to me, the value there is so much better that I get it. He is aggressive, and he's going to try to make a move. He's also going to look for a good deal, right? Odell Beckham Jr., I was all about giving up 2 firsts. John Dorsey didn't do that. He gave up a player. He probably wasn't going to extend in a couple years in Peppers at first and a third. So I think he's going to try to find value there, and that's where that balance, it'll be interesting to see how he juggles it, but that's where that balance comes in. I think early day two on Friday, that's when he trades.
The only thing I care about is he gets rid of some of these fifth round picks.
And he makes a lot.
And he makes as few picks on Saturday as possible.
You don't want 7 seventh?
Nope, don't care.
7 seventh round picks?
Feel free to trade 7 for a 6 next year, John. Go for it.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you.
Go ahead and trade that 6th, number 189. Go ahead and trade that for a 5 next year while you're at it.
Yeah, I think it will be interesting.
Maybe make one of those 5s a 4 next year. Like, I'm all about just, you know. Because, I mean, listen, they're not, by any stretch of the imagination, a finished, complete product. But, you know, you finally have a GM that actually knows how to find talent in the draft. Like, this is just, it's a different situation. I said this with Ken and Anthony Tuesday morning. You know, everyone's praising John Dorsey, and rightfully so. I don't want to diminish what he's done as GM. But they're basically praising the guy for doing his job and doing what the previous 8 GMs were so effing incapable of. And that's actually getting something with the first round picks from a talent perspective, okay? You know, Joe Hayden, Joe Thomas, those are outliers. Pro Bowl players that the Browns found in the first round, or, you know, they picked in the first round, mm-hmm. not found, but, you know, Joe Thomas was the 3rd pick, Joe Hayden was the top 10 pick, but, like, that was a rarity in what is a normal occurrence in the National Football League where guys are, you know, you find Pro Bowlers with your top 10 picks. Like, that's an anomaly for the Cleveland Browns.
Are you telling me Justin Gilbert wasn't good?
He blew. And I'm being kind. That guy couldn't cover a lamp. Or set his alarm clock. So, we're all praising John Dorsey right now for just because he's already exceeded what any other GM has been able to do. Now, where we're going to find out, and I do believe this is a very good personnel department, okay? Alonzo Highsmith, Elliot Wolf, John Dorsey, I think that they make a very good trio, and they're one of the best groups in the NFL. Yes, I just said that about a Cleveland Browns front office, that they have one of the best front offices in the NFL. These guys can find talent, so I am not the least bit worried where these picks fall. Okay, they're going to look for value. Like last year, Antonio Callaway, 4th round pick. They found a guy who had some red flags, first-round talent, had some red flags, got him in the fourth round of the draft. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is where Dorsey's going to be really good. So that's why it's like, if they trade back into the first round Thursday night to get that fifth-year option, great. If they don't, and they don't do squat Thursday night, and we're just all doing shots in Berea, killing time, you know, watching the network coverage or whatever, fine. It's not the end of the world. Like, this is the first time in forever that the fate of the franchise is not in the balance Thursday night.
Okay? Isn't that a good feeling?
It's a bizarre feeling.
You got Baker, you got OBJ, you paid Jarvis. I mean, the core is there. You're right. They got to build for the future. They got to build.
Yeah, Denzel Ward, Sheldon Richardson, Olivier Vernon. Don't forget about the defensive guys.
Miles Garrett. Come on now, Miles Garrett. You forgot. You start with Sheldon Richardson.
Well, I'm new addition.
I'm telling Miles.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Anyways.
But no, I mean, it is a bizarre feeling to go into this draft. Like, the New England Patriots every year, they seem to pick 30, 31, 32 in the draft. And it does not affect them. I can't remember the last time the New England Patriots had a top 15 pick in the NFL draft.
I'm still thinking.
They still win Super Bowls.
I don't know when.
Why? Because they have a great scouting department and they've got a good front office. And that's my point when it comes to Dorsey and Alonzo and Elliott, that, like, it doesn't matter that the Browns have the 49th pick. They're still going to be able to find a player there. Or, you know, find some value in that second round of a first rounder that, you know, falls into the second round, and they can be aggressive and go up and get that player or whatever. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not worried about it. I have no concerns. To me, it's curiosity. I'm curious what he does. I'm curious if he trades into the first round because the guy that he really wants, you know, falls. I'm curious to see what he does in the second round. Or the third, fourth, fifth. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. it's all curiosity for me. It's not like last year where the fate of the franchise was at stake, okay? Or the year before, or the year before, or the year before. So the expectation is that this is going to be a playoff team this year, and nothing's for granted, nothing's guaranteed. But, you know, this roster and how John Dorsey has taken it in 16 months. From one that couldn't even win a damn game to now, we're talking, can they win the division? Can they win a game in January? Are they legit Super Bowl contenders? And all this stuff's going to kind of play itself out. I mean, I put the depth chart together a couple weeks ago, and it's the best depth chart I've put together for the Cleveland Browns in well over a decade.
Let's talk about a guy on that depth chart that you just said you don't expect to be there. Duke Johnson. You don't expect him to be with the Browns on Sunday. To me, I look at his value, and I get it's not a lot. I've heard fifth-round pick. I've heard something like that.
Chicago Bears traded a 1,000-yard rusher to Philadelphia.
For a fifth.
For not only a fifth, James, but a 2020 fifth. It wasn't even a pick for this year.
Yeah, and that's interesting. Here's what I'll say.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, here's what I'll argue, though.
Think about that.
I get it. The difference is Howard is this bruising, slower type back between the tackles, kind of old, mid-2000s and before, physical back. Talented, immensely talented. And I love that trade for the Eagles, by the way.
His numbers have gone down the last couple of years. Yep. The rushing average has kind of slipped just a little bit. I get. I'm just saying.
No, but his numbers are certainly still better than Duke Johnson's.
Right.
Couldn't I argue, though, that a team like New England could use someone like Duke Johnson, because we've seen it year after year after year? And you mentioned trading back into the back half of that first
49
round.
And Duke for 32. Get it done, John.
Well, that's outrageous. But 49, Duke, and
a fifth. We will give you number 170 back.
Of course you'd give him Matt Trent. Of course.
You can have the Josh Gordon pick back.
But I would much rather trade Duke 49 in a third next year than, you know, 49 a fifth. In, like, I would much rather have
Right.
I would much rather keep the picks.
Well, that's your trade, by the way. You heard it here first on the Cleveland Sports Beat podcast.
49.
Browns are sending 49 Duke Johnson and another pick to New England for 32.
Like, I wouldn't be shocked there. I don't think New England...
It'd be a good trade for both teams.
Yeah, I think, especially if it's... Because New England has a ton...
And there's a history between the teams.
They have a ton of draft picks this year. Yeah. A freaking ton.
They got 12. They got Tom Brady draft
picks. So they're going to have to consolidate them
some. Come on. No love for Tom Brady draft picks.
I'm wearing a Tom Brady shirt
That's why
right
I
now.
Said that, and you gave me no love for it.
If they traded back from 32 to 49, and then... get a third rounder next year. That just screams Belichick.
Yeah.
To me, that's the type of deal. If you are going to get back into round one, that's it. I also think, and I don't have the New England Patriots draft picks in front of me, the potential of them, and I think they have four or five picks in the top 100. I mean, they have a lot of quality picks. Could the Browns move from 80 up in the third round, up into the late second with Duke Johnson? That's what I want to use for Duke Johnson. I don't give a damn about another fifth-round pick. That's not quality. That's a fringe roster guy. That's a guy that might end up on the practice squad with this team. I want value, and the value that Duke Johnson offers you is moving from 80 to 67, is helping move from 80 to 70. So you can get that guy. So you can get that top talent that you had a round two grade on that you don't think is going to be there at 80. That, I think, should be the Browns' goal.
They have six picks in the top 101.
There you go.
Through the first three rounds.
How many do they have ahead of 80? You know, they picked 32.
They have 32, 56, 64, 73, 97, 101.
There you go.
And then you get later in the draft, they have 134, 205, 239, 243, 246, and 252. Hey, they got not one, not two. Not three, but four seventh-round picks.
I don't want any of them.
I don't want any of them.
I don't want any of them.
I'm just saying, though, but in one of those picks, they got from the Browns.
Doesn't that... So they have a ton of picks. They have five picks in the top 100, you said? To me, come on. It's the perfect... And then they have 101, too.
Right, and their second-round pick is 56, which is 24th in the round, I believe. And then they also have... that was a trade with Chicago that they got that pick from. They have their pick 64th overall.
That's it. That's the trade right there.
Yeah.
Eight pick 80 for the Browns in round three.
Yeah.
Duke Johnson and like a fifth for 64.
Yeah, possibly.
You know, it makes so much sense.
Right.
Duke Johnson could be a star in New England.
Well, and like I said, the Browns and the Patriots have a lengthy history of doing business together.
No doubt.
With one exception, the one trade Bill Belichick refused to do with the Cleveland Browns.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Bingo.
That's why he only got a second. He wanted Jimmy G to have success. That's it. Well, he could have got more here.
And he didn't want him in the AFC, and also he didn't want to send him to the bleep show that was the Cleveland
Browns.
Well,
that's it.
He
wanted, correct. He wanted to have them to have success. Or wanted Jimmy G to have success, because that's his baby.
Yeah.
You know, that was his Tom Brady replacement. Which didn't work out.
He didn't want to punish Jimmy Garoppolo.
Correct. And
he punished Jamie Collins by trading him to the Browns.
Fair.
Okay.
Fair.
Well, let's see. You have the Jamie Collins trade. You have the Josh Gordon trade. The Danny Shelton trade. Those are just three quick ones right off the top.
The Browns could give him that Josh Gordon pick right. back in this deal.
Well, I said that 2 minutes ago. Where were you?
Shut up.
Just saying.
Shut up.
Pay attention.
I'm trying. So many picks. I'm so excited. It's draft week. It's draft week,
Daryl.
You
gave me no love over my Tom Brady draft
I love
picks
Tom Brady.
Thing. And then,
I appreciate
12.
I appreciate
they have
it.
TB12
Zero
picks.
Chance they used 12.
Yeah, no. There's no way.
Like, imagine, and I know they have other running backs, Rex Burkhead and James White and those guys, but to me, Duke Johnson slides right
Bill
in.
Bill Belichick will be giving away seventh-round picks.
Here's another thing for you, and I want to get into like actual contenders for that 49th pick and names to watch and stuff, and no one would know it better than you. So we can get into that in a bit. But can I throw another name out there that I think might have some value, might have some value when it comes to moving up, if you want to move up? And I just want to gauge your thoughts.
I'm all ears.
Second-year player. You mentioned him on this podcast. Antonio Callaway. You're the Browns. You have Jarvis Landry. You have Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh, I'm not trading Antonio.
You have Rashard Higgins.
I am not trading Antonio.
And that's the interesting thing, right? Because I think he is a potential top talent, right? You're right. Potential first rounder, had some off the field flags, could end up being a really good player in the NFL.
Yeah.
If I'm a team, New England, wide receiver starved, you know, any of those teams in the back half. Oh, you want to move up to 35?
Right.
Oh, you want to move up to 37? Duke Johnson. I want someone with a higher ceiling.
Right. I'm not trading Antonio.
I'm just saying, if I'm on the other side of it,
well, of
that's
course,
a guy,
yeah. I
mean, that's a guy I'm looking at. Oh, well, the Browns are pretty set at wide receiver. I want a guy with a high ceiling in a wide receiver class that lacks top-end talent. Yeah, you want to move up to 35? Give us Antonio Callaway in a fifth in your 49th pick, and you get 35.
You mean 32.
Or 32 or 33. You know, I'm just throwing out.
Oh, okay. Gotcha,
if you just
want
to move up.
Yeah,
the Patriots would make sense again in this scenario. Because
you
wouldn't trade him.
Three weeks ago, I circled New England as the trade that I think can happen.
Sure. I agree with that.
I think that if John Dorsey does something, I think it's going to be at midnight, and it's going to be with the New England Patriots. Because, again, the two teams have a history of doing business together. Now, potentially because the Browns are a team on the rise, maybe Bill Belichick won't be as anxious to do business with the Browns.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You don't want to arm your competition. There's a difference between doing business with a team that's been the laughingstock of not only the conference but the league, versus now the Browns are expected to win their division. They're expected to be a playoff threat. Okay.
Sure.
And again, we are putting the cart before the horse. The Cleveland Browns have won nothing. Okay. They're coming off a 7-8-1 season, which for them is a quantum leap forward. In New England, that'd be grounds to fire somebody. All right. I don't want to come off as like I'm putting the cart before the horse here. I'm just saying the expectation has flipped from going to First Energy Stadium and just wondering how bad the loss today is going to be and how much I'm going to drink to get through it to now, you know, what are we doing to celebrate the win? Like, it's a completely different environment. So I think that might be the only thing that might give Bill Belichick and the Patriots pause to do business with the Browns again.
Because they're a potential threat.
That now all of a sudden the Cleveland Browns are competition for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that the Browns are coming for them. That it's not a joke. It is legitimate that John Dorsey has put together a team that has the talent that is capable. Now we have to see if Freddie Kitchens can, you know, bring that talent together. But I think that would make for the perfect trade. The Patriots love those multi-purpose style running backs, which Duke Johnson is. So I'm not dodging anything. I think that would be
the
perfect trade to move into 32.
I agree. But what about Antonio Callaway? That to me.
Oh, no. I'm
you
not.
You wouldn't deal with
it.
That's the part.
No,
that's the part of this, because you got to think outside the box.
You know who I might trade?
Who?
Rashard Higgins.
Well, sure. And I will say this. I think New England would be interested in a player like Rashard Higgins.
But I'm not trading Antonio Callaway, because I think Antonio Callaway has Randy Moss capability.
Oh, come on. Come on.
I'm talking just from a talent standpoint.
Randy Moss?
He has elite talent. Like Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon had it.
Yeah. But Antonio Callaway's not 6'4". And
I understand. I'm not comparing the size of the player, the measurables. I'm saying.
You just mean he's high-end talent.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
I'm sorry. He has Odell Beckham Jr. talent. Ooh. How's that? How's that? Does that work a little better
for
you?
And that's exactly why, if I'm New England.
But that's why I'm not. That's why I won't trade him.
You want pick 32? We want 49 Callaway and that Josh Gordon fifth. Hang up the phone. And then you wait until midnight. You want 32? That's what we want. And that, to me, that's what will be interesting, though, is because now wide receiver is suddenly a strength. I know OBJ's had his injury issues, but to me, it's just a fourth-round pick. He has had some off-the-field issues. You don't need any distractions. your wide receiver room is set. I mean, a 1-3 of Landry, Higgins, and obviously OBJ. That's, whew, buckle up, right?
Right.
So to me, if you really want to move up, and I'm a team that's looking for a wide receiver, that's the guy I circle. The home run type threat, the guy who's already been in the league for a year, he flashed some, hasn't broke out yet, under contract for 3 more years.
Don't tell the Saints he hasn't broke out yet.
Flashed. Those are the flashes, right? But to me, that's the guy. Yeah. That's the guy, if I'm a team looking at the Browns, that makes sense. You're not going
and if I'm John Dorsey, you just turn it down completely.
He's untouchable.
If I'm John Dorsey, well, again, because this is the depth that I'm talking about.
Sure.
Okay. And this isn't being negative, but let's say Odell Beckham gets hurt or Jarvis Landry gets hurt. Who becomes that guy to slide in? Mm-hmm. Well, that obviously you want it to be
Andy Isabella with the 80th pick. I'm just kidding. Look at me having fun with the draft, baby. Andy Isabella, baby.
You're having way too much fun.
I like Andy Isabella.
I can tell.
You don't like Andy?
Okay. I mean, they don't need him. They don't need him.
That's fair.
The room's a little full right now.
That's fair.
You know what they need? They need some corners. They need some defensive linemen. They might need a younger offensive lineman. They could use another tight end. Maybe a running back.
He's Daryl Ryder. I'm James Erpine.
21 other positions on the field.
What do the Browns need? We'll talk about it next right here on the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back into the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast. Quick reminder, you can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. It's great to be with you. You can follow us on Twitter at Right or Wrong Fan and at James Erpine. We are your beat writers for 92.3 The Fan. All right, let's dive into this. The Browns, they have draft picks. Their first one this year they used on Odell Beckham Jr. So they get a grade. You have to give them an A+ for their first round talent acquisition of OBJ.
That's two straight years of A-pluses for John Dorsey in round one of the NFL draft.
No doubt about it. You mentioned some of the positions that they need, Daryl. What players stand out to you? If there were 5, 6, 10, I mean, because you don't know who's going to be there at 49. Right. But if there were some guys that you have starred or underlined on that paper of yours in front of you, who stands out? Who's a guy or two or 5 or 10, however many you want to give, that Browns fans should at least be aware of going into Thursday and certainly Friday night?
Well, Jeffrey Simmons is at the top. He's a guy I think you have to watch to see where he falls. Obviously, the past with the video from when he was in high school of him beating the woman. He's been a model citizen ever since. He is part of his resolution of that. He paid restitution to the woman that he assaulted, and he's been on his best behavior ever since then, but he tore his ACL. So he's going to redshirt this year. The ACL, I think, is what's obviously going to drop him the most down the boards because he is a top 10. You could argue he's top 1 or 2. He's not the top interior lineman, but he's one of the top 3 interior linemen from a talent perspective.
If healthy, he goes top 15.
Correct. Well, no, if healthy.
Maybe 10.
No, if healthy, he's a top 10 pick. If healthy. But he's not. So, depending how far he falls. So, he's someone that I would say John Dorsey would have no problem drafting. Because as John Dorsey has proven, see Kareem Hunt, he's willing to deal with red flags with guys.
No doubt.
Okay. The question to me, it all comes down to the ACL. All comes down to the ACL and what the Browns medical staff says about it.
Sure.
Okay. Because that's an unknown quantity. He would absolutely be a redshirt guy. But let's look at guys that might actually realistically be around at 49. I think the kid from Washington, Taylor Rupp, who's a safety.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Browns need safety help. Dexter Lawrence from Clemson, the defensive tackle. I think he could be someone that the Browns would look at.
It feels like defense, doesn't it? Defense, or maybe a tackle.
I'm going to give you a lot of defensive names because this is a defensive laden draft.
Which means it's more likely that one of the guys with the first round grade is a defensive player that falls because there's so many of them.
Well, I'm going to give you a name that would be a little bit of a surprise, but it would be a long term, similar to what he did last year with his first pick in the second round. Greg Little, the offensive tackle from Ole Miss.
Yep.
Okay.
Browns fans familiar with that name.
They're familiar with the name. This guy's a little better. It plays a different position.
He looks a little different.
Right.
It's a little stronger. A little heavier.
Irv Smith, the tight end from Alabama. The Browns need tight end help. Again, I'm not saying that's where they're going to go. You know, I put Paris Campbell in the bunch, but the Browns don't need receivers.
No.
Okay. Draymond Jones. Here's an interesting one because, and Dorsey was very complimentary of Draymond. He was at the local pro day that they had in Berea, being an Ohio State Buckeye. And it was interesting. Dane Brugler's my guy. Like he does such a great job with his comprehensive draft guy.
One of my favorite draft follows.
He put out his top 100. In fact, is we're having doing this podcast right now. I have his top 100 in front of me, and I was a little surprised that when I was going through Dane's top 100, he had Draymond Jones at number 56. In his top 100. That kind of caught my attention a little bit. And Dane knows his stuff. He talks to a lot of people around the league, a lot of scouts. Like I said, I think he does the most comprehensive breakdown of players of anyone out there. So I was a little surprised by that ranking from Dane. I'm not being critical of it, just it was something that I was like, whoa, really? Because as I was scrolling down, like, where the hell's Draymond Jones?
Oh, and he's way up there.
Yeah, he's not up there. So I think that those are some names that John Dorsey could potentially
target. So you were expecting to see him higher, is what you're saying?
I was expecting to maybe see him in the 40s.
Gotcha.
You know, let's just say for the sake of argument that John Dorsey does wait for whatever falls to him at 49. Okay. You know, and if he took Draymond Jones there, did he overdraft him? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That I'd say that those are the group of guys that I would think that could be potential selections
pick. I could see
they all fill a need. They all add depth to the roster, and that's where you're at right now. Is you're adding depth, you're adding competition, and you're basically insulating yourself from potential injuries as you go. Because every team has players that get hurt. They all go through injuries. So it's not an excuse. It is the NFL is a war of attrition. It's who give the Patriots credit. They've had their fair share of injuries over the years, and they always seem to find a way to be the last people standing in February.
Mm-hmm.
They just do. It's mind-boggling. It's incredible what they've done up there. So that's what John Dorsey's going to end up doing with this draft is basically, best player available, which will just naturally fill some needs on the depth chart.
Yeah. I mean, to me, wouldn't be shocked, corner, safety, defensive tackle. I mean, they're all in play. And that's the beauty is since they're so open to all of these positions. They're not pigeonholed into a safety.
You know what's disappointing this year?
They're not pigeonholed into a linebacker. they can.
There's not enough linebackers in this draft.
Correct.
And that's what's it, because that you want to talk a position of need.
It's it.
That's it. And but that, this that isn't this me, isn't the draft.
That's why that's the one thing I could see. Now the top guys aren't going to be there. They're not getting out of the top 15. Those top linebackers.
Oh no! Why do you think
Devin Bush, Devin White? You know those guys aren't. But here's the thing.
Here, hang on. I can confirm the Cleveland Browns are not in on Nick Bosa, Quinnen Williams, Josh Allen, Jonah Williams, Ed Oliver, TJ Hockenson, Montez Sweat, Christian Wilkins, Andre Dillard, and Devin Bush. There you go.
Yeah.
The Cleveland Browns are in on none of those players.
Yeah, and to me, that's the one spot, the one target, where if a linebacker does fall past what they think, if you move up 6-7 spots to get him.
But here's the thing,
you know, so I could see that. Can I give you one name, too, before I forget?
Yeah, because I have a thought on the linebacker situation. Go ahead.
One defensive player that just, in Brown's Twitter, is really high on him. I've just been following.
Oh, well, Brown's Twitter's high on him. Well,
Justin Lane, Michigan State corner. I would keep an eye on him. I think that they're going to draft a corner. I would be shocked.
Oh, they're absolutely going to draft
if they don't
a
draft a corner by round four. You know, in that those first couple of rounds. If they wait till round five,
They want to find someone to compete with Terrence Mitchell for that starting spot opposite Denzel Ward. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And that's the type of guy in Lane,
and again,
I think, can.
This is how you build a championship team. Sure, Terrence Mitchell's penciled in as your starter. He's a veteran. He played well last year. But if you if you get another kid to come in and compete with him and can steal that job from him, and you turn Terrence Mitchell into a role player or a backup, I mean, you're in a win-win situation right now. Mm-hmm. Here's my thought on the linebacker, because it hit me as we were having this discussion.
I have a name for you on that as well.
Even though I said linebacker is a need, maybe it's not as big of a need as we make it out to be, because how often do teams really play their base?
Not often.
Not often. Mm-hmm. Okay. So odds are there's going to be, you're going to have five guys up front with their hands in the dirt, ready to get after the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Conceivably. You're going to add multiple guys to the back end of the defense in the secondary, whether that's you're putting another safety on the field, you got your nickel, you got your dime packages and stuff like that. So having Jannard Avery, who, even though I've penciled him in, is technically the replacement for Jamie Collins, he's kind of like a hybrid edge guy.
Yeah.
And he, to me, he's that fifth guy that you're throwing in there. So it is a need. Okay, but it's not glaring just because you're not in these base defensive packages all that often. So I think that you can skirt by with the three linebackers that you have, but you need those guys to be healthy, because if Christian Kirksey gets hurt, if Joe Schobert gets hurt, or if Jannard Avery gets hurt, now you have a problem.
Yeah, I agree with that, and Mack Wilson is the guy.
Okay.
I think, because I just think it's going to be either 49 or 80.
I was going to say, isn't he like third round grade?
I would say mid second.
Okay.
So 49, he's in play there. If they just stand pat, they could also
I can't see them taking a linebacker at 49.
Could also trade back. Well, that's the thing, is that's kind of a good spot,
because
that's
then you're
when
reaching.
The next wave. I don't think so, because that's when the next wave starts to hit. Now you could wait and Voshan Joseph, Jermaine Pratt. I mean, then you're talking third round, fourth round.
It just isn't a good linebacker class.
No, it's not. And that's
really
why
isn't.
Mack Wilson, probably the third guy between the two Devins.
Yeah.
That's like out of Alabama. I like him. He's athletic. You know, that's what you're going to look for. It'll be interesting to see how they play that out, because they have options. But if there was that one need, it is linebacker.
They'll take a defensive lineman in a corner before they take a linebacker.
I don't like that.
I think it's because
I think there will be more corners available in round five that you can get and develop.
But here's the thing: I think corner, they want someone they can put on the field right away in some capacity, either as a nickel or as a dime. Okay.
But you don't need that at linebacker?
I understand. I get what you're saying. But again, you're drafting best player available, and you don't draft for need. Because when you draft for a need, and again, I'm not disputing that it's not a concern, that it's not a need. We just had this conversation.
I know.
But you tend to get yourself in trouble when you could have drafted a better player at a different position.
Who's saying that he wouldn't be the third best linebacker in the draft? If he's available at 49, you don't think he would be, whoever it is, and it might not necessarily be Mac Wilson, but if one of their, if the third best linebacker on the Browns board is available at 49, you don't think he's going to be a top player on their board? Top player. If he's the third best linebacker on the board, because the top two won't be there. You see what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying.
Like, he's got to be in the mix. You're not trading up for him.
No, no, I understand. From what I understand, there's the evaluators feel there's a significant gap between the top two linebackers.
Sure.
Those
guys could go in the top 10.
Whereas there isn't as much of a significant gap between the defensive linemen, between the safeties, between the corners.
But those guys will be 10 deep. You know, there'll be five corners gone, be 10 defensive linemen gone.
But my point is that the ninth or 10th corner
compares.
Defensive lineman, it might be better than the third best linebacker.
So that will be interesting to see how they juggle
it. But does that put that into perspective, just how weak of a class this is position?
I get it, but I think at some point...
You could go 10 deep at another defensive position and it'd be better than the third best player at another.
I get it. I totally get it. It'll be interesting to see how they juggle that.
Again,
because Mac Wilson might be their guy. You know, we have no idea.
Again, we can have fun having this conversation. It doesn't matter. I mean, it matters, but it doesn't matter where Dorsey's concerned, because he's not drafting for need. He's not drafting because he has to do something. He can basically do whatever he wants and feels he needs to do in this draft. Like, he's in a luxurious position right now.
I'm looking at Sports Illustrated's draft just to give us a different board.
Okay.
15 corners and safeties are ranked ahead of, just to back up your point, ahead of Mac Wilson, who's the third highest linebacker.
So what you're saying is I actually knew what I was talking about.
And my guy Justin Lane is 15th. The corner I mentioned from Michigan State is 15th with an overall rank of 54.
Okay.
Mac Wilson's overall rank is 58. So that gives you an idea
of
where it lands. Obviously, it depends on how the board plays out. Who knows what the Browns like. It is interesting, though. It is. It'll be interesting to see how they because now they have to wait a little bit.
Right.
Well, they're going to have to let the top 20 picks go by.
We say BPA, it's not lip service. It's actually legit. Like, it's best player available. You know what I'm saying? Like, it used to be, oh, yeah, best player available. They should take the best player available. It was just like, no, it's legit. John Dorsey's just going to take the best player available. It doesn't matter what position it is. If the best player available is an offensive tackle, he's going to pick an offensive tackle.
Can I give you a couple more players I like?
Yeah, sure.
Just because what the hell, right?
This is your Christmas.
David Montgomery,
whatever. So,
running back. He's not coming here. He's not coming here because he's going to go too early. I just want to put it out there who I like and who I don't.
So you just want to mention a bunch of guys that the Browns have no chance to get.
No, I'm going to mention.
Or are
some
these guys that secretly you hope become Cincinnati Bengals?
They have Joe Mixon. They're fine at running back. David Montgomery, stud from Cincinnati, by the way, went to Iowa State.
Oh, now we know why you're mentioning.
Went to Iowa State
from Cincinnati.
Tommy Tuberville should have recruited him to my Bearcats and didn't. I'm a University of Cincinnati alum. Shout out to the Bearcats. So David Montgomery, that's a guy I like. He's a top five running back on most boards. But to me, at some point, they're going to draft a running back, right?
I would think so.
I wonder if it's, you mentioned injuries.
Mm-hmm. And remember, Duke Johnson will not be a Brown at the end of the weekend.
Bryce Love. Dealing with that knee from Stanford, would be much higher on boards if he didn't get injured. That's a guy. Benny Snell from Kentucky, late round. You're talking about 3 5th round picks.
Right.
They have a 7th. I could see Benny Snow, who's ultra productive at Kentucky,
right,
for the Ohio State fans. And I do want to get to Ohio State in a second. Mike Weber, who knows? So there are some options there, to replace Duke Johnson.
And this is what John Dorsey likes to do. Again, he likes to find value in guys that have red flags, whether it's an off-the-field red flag, whether it's a medical red flag. You know, he can afford to take a couple of risks in this draft as well. He can take a shot on a kid.
Yeah.
You know, I mentioned Jeffrey Simmons earlier. A couple reasons. One, because John Dorsey has spoken in glowing terms about the guy. But also, he would fit in to the long-term view of things, you know. He wouldn't play this year. He can't play this year because of the injury. It's an opportunistic move because he is going to fall down the board because of the injury, because of the off-the-field incident in high school. And that's what the good GMs do, is they capitalize on those opportunities. Antonio Callaway a year ago was an opportunity, and John Dorsey capitalized on that.
Sure. Kareem. And he took Callaway earlier than people expected Callaway to go.
And Callaway, for, you know, again, first round talent, you know, Kareem Hunt was an opportunity, and he took the opportunity. He took the heat for it, but it was an opportunity to add a Pro Bowl caliber football player to the roster. Mm-hmm. And that's what the best GMs in the league does. So this is going to be an interesting, fun draft just to kind of sit back and watch how John Dorsey works this.
Yeah, because now this is what separates, to your point, the good front office is in the average front offices. It's easy to say, oh, Odell Beckham Jr., let's trade for him. It's easy to say, let's go get Olivier Vernon. It's harder to figure out when and if you should trade up, what position to address, if 48 other players are drafted ahead of you, what player to take. It will be very interesting to see. And this is kind of the final stamp. Obviously, this team has to win, but we've seen John Dorsey do all sorts of things at a very high level, including last year's draft, which was just amazing already, and we're still not sure about Austin Corbett. It's already amazing. It's already a success, but a huge success.
Yeah, I mean, if Austin Corbett becomes...
He could be a bust, and it's still a huge draft.
But if Austin Corbett is not a bust, and if Austin Corbett comes in and does what John Dorsey expects him to do, that might become the greatest draft class in franchise history.
I think, yes. I mean, I don't know, because there's no misses. You know, franchise quarterback, et cetera. So it will be very interesting to see what he does. Real quick, before we get out of here, Dwayne Haskins.
Best quarterback in the draft.
Really? So you wouldn't? Oh, yeah, we talked about the Kyler thing on a previous podcast. Yeah. I don't want to talk about Kyler. I think he's going number one, but you wouldn't take him number one.
I wouldn't.
We can react to that later if he does. Dwayne Haskins, you like him? You think he's the best quarterback in the draft?
I do.
I think that...
I don't think he's ready to play right away. And in fact, Urban Meyer said this recently, I think, on Colin Cowherd's show. Urban was a guest.
It's your favorite show.
And, no, that would be Baker Mayfield's favorite show. Urban said that he's not mature enough yet to lead a franchise.
That he needs a year.
But he has the ability to eventually grow into that role, and I think that is the perfect assessment. I like Dwayne Haskins a lot. I think he has the arm talent. I think he has it between the ears. And from the measurables, people, you know, obviously they care about the measurables, and he checks the boxes there. He checks all the boxes that you want in your starting quarterback. He's going to need time to develop. He's not ready to play yet. I think the New York Giants would be a perfect situation for him to go in there and just kind of have Eli teach him how to be a professional.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that he is the best quarterback right now in the draft, which means he won't be, because I always screw up the quarterbacks.
I think Kyler goes one. I think Dwayne Haskins, because I've seen him fall as far as 15.
I'm interested to see what the Cardinals do with Josh Rosen this weekend.
I'll give you a scenario here in a second on that, because I think it's a no-brainer for teams like Miami and Washington and others. Hell, Cincinnati, they should go get Josh Rosen. It's a no-freaking-brainer to
you
me.
You know who might go get him?
Who?
New England.
Yeah, oh, I know. No-brainer for them, too. He's cheap. $1.8 million? Bring him in. Great backup.
Tom Brady isn't going to play till he's 100. He might try to play till he's 100, but...
As far as Dwayne Haskins goes, I wouldn't be shocked if he goes fourth.
To Oakland.
That to me is spot.
There's these rumblings. He's not getting out of the top 10.
They sent all their scouts home.
Well, I understand
that.
Shut it down. But the reason they did that is because like they've got some move that's going to come. I would consider that to be a little bit out of left field.
That would be out of left field. I think a potential trade for Kyler at one is something that they will explore. I don't think the Cardinals are going to move off of it, but I think the Raiders would love to do a deal.
Oh, of course.
And
they
have the ammo. But no, I think Dwayne Haskins, because I've seen him mocked as low as 15. I've seen him go to the Bengals, the Dolphins, right. the Redskins. I don't see him lasting that far. I think he goes fourth, sixth, eighth is a prime trade-up spot for one of those teams, by the way, Buffalo,
right now,
because they already have their quarterback.
The best thing that could happen to the Cleveland Browns in this draft is that there's a run on quarterbacks in the first round, and teams just get so thirsty and desperate. And they draft all these guys that aren't any good.
Yeah, Drew Lock, Daniel Jones. Like, if they all go and just push them down the board. I agree with you.
Thank God the Browns got Baker Mayfield last year. Could you imagine going into this draft needing a quarterback still?
That's a good way to end this. Thank God for Baker Mayfield. He's Daryl Ryder. I'm James Rapine. Make sure you catch all of Daryl's draft coverage on our website at 923thefan.com. You can follow us on Twitter at James Rapine, at Ryder Wrong Fan. Be sure to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes so more Cleveland sports fans can find this podcast. You can also subscribe on Stitcher and Google Play. We'll be back at it Sunday with a complete podcast recapping all things Browns draft. It's a must listen. It will be a must listen. Daryl, going to bring the heat then. So make sure you keep it locked right here. Thanks for listening. We'll be back in a few days right here on the Cleveland Sports Beat Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.